Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Hackers and HackZen podcast. You're about to join Erica, Jax, and John for an inclusive cybersecurity conversation designed to educate and break the stereotypes of cybersecurity professionals while providing life hacks on how to handle burnout, networking, and goal setting. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Super excited for our episode today because it is just Erica and I, and we were actually right before we hit record, we're just having a fun time off the show talking about kind of what we were going to be talking about today and kind of laughing and having a great time because for us, goal setting is so important, such a pivotal point of like such a pivotal aspect in our life that we felt like this was a topic that we could talk about and really dive into. So that is going to be our show today. Goal setting, time management, just hacks for you. And Erica, we were right before we click record, we were talking about time blocking. And I want to know, like, explain what is time blocking? How do you utilize it?
Yeah, no, this is great, Jax. So time blocking is a method that is starting to become more recognized. I think people have been doing it without knowing the actual term for it. The whole premise is to really just set aside time that is digestible, right? So, you know, going into the day with a plan and blocking out blocks of time for each activity of what you need to accomplish and having that dedicated time be for that activity so that you can plan your weeks and manage your time better. I think this is like increasingly important as we think of where we are today with like working from home, being online, like what feels like 24/7. I mean, we are just so easily distracted by what we have going on. And so having that dedicated time where like, I'm only going to be focusing on this one thing at that time, is like extremely important for our mental well-being, but also for like our efficiency and productivity. I tend to think of these periods as like deep work blocks, but I also want to introduce the idea of time blocking for your own personal time as well. So that includes, you know, setting time aside for lunch, setting aside time that is like do not disturb time so that people know that, you know, there's a meeting on your calendar. They may not have access to view what exactly that meeting is, but they know that you're busy. And it may be a 30-minute walk that you take every day around lunch, whatever that may be, that is your time. Really, the idea is for you to plan your days ahead and plan your weeks ahead. So for my personal strategy, I don't know about you, Jax, but I essentially start time blocking probably the week before. And I look to see what I have on my calendar, what's due every day. I set up calendar reminders. I honestly use my calendar. I do not rely on my head to remember anything. Anything that comes to my head, I put on paper immediately. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is about putting the pen to the paper and physically writing it down. It's just a way for me to perform a brain dump. And oftentimes I run to do that brain dump first thing in the morning too, because that's when I feel like my brain, it's starting to turn on and I think, okay, I need to go to even like the dry cleaners. I need to go do this and this and this. And the more you rely on your head, the more likely you are to forget things, but also to get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So that's just a strategy that I've been using, is just looking to see, you know, what I have coming up, where do I need to build in personal time? I think another great point is building an exercise. I have my daily yoga routine on my calendar every single morning. Likely clients are not going to schedule time that early with me, but it's for myself. It's to hold myself accountable, mm-hmm. to say, okay, this is just to be treated like any other activity that you have in the day. It's just as important as getting output out to a client or a deliverable out to, you know, your boss for review, whatever that may be. Like, show up for yourself. Your time is, for you, is just as important.
Yeah, totally. I resonate with a lot of things that you're saying. And for me, the time blocking thing, shockingly, I mean, I'm a high performer. I've been a high performer in my life or for many, many years. But I will tell you that I was a high performer because of my fortitude and just driving mm-hmm. on and just getting stuff yeah. done. And when I started implementing not just time management, because time management and time blocking are, they go hand in hand, but they are different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was very good with time management, but I wasn't good at time blocking, meaning I would sit down and I would work a 12 to 16 hour day mm-hmm. with literally no breaks.
Yeah.
And it was so terrible for my mental health.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. And now you can look at my calendar and it does look busy. But to me, I even use color coding for everything.
Oh, so do I. Yes.
Yeah. And I take lunch now. I step away. I don't eat lunch at my desk anymore. Yes. I step away for 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I go for a walk. It's blocked into my calendar lunch break. It's into my calendar at, you know, depending on the day of the evening that I'm either writing my book or I'm doing school or I'm doing my nonprofit work. Like everything is blocked out. And something I would say the best advice for that has worked for me is be specific on your time block. Like you, Erica, you put yoga, be specific. Like for me, for example, I would literally say like 30 minute mind reset or play with the cat or go for a walk mm-hmm. instead of just saying personal break.
Yes.
Be specific because then it allows you to be like, nope, this is my actual yoga break, not yep. just workout. Like be specific to what you're going to do. And if you do the time blocking and your time management, you will notice that you mentioned it earlier and I wrote it down, but just being overwhelmed, that's going to be reduced in your anxiety. My anxiety used to be super high because I would just go, 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 go. And I just push, push, push. But I didn't visually see anything. So mm-hmm. now I will sometimes even write tasks on there that I need to get done, like call the insurance. Like yeah. this is my time. Call the insurance company. Take time to do that. So those were huge hacks for me, but you said something and I wanted to kind of dig a little bit further into that. Like you, and I found this interesting. You said, I do yoga in the morning and I know this is not the time that probably a client is going to ask me for a meeting, but you said, I do this for my mental health. So when did you realize, hey, I need to start writing this down and putting this on the calendar for my mental health? Mm-hmm. Even if I don't do yoga, when did you start realizing this is something I need to start adding into my life and doing that?
So I had a pretty bad burnout about 3 years ago. I essentially like had one of those, like, you know, let's call it a coming to Jesus moment with myself where I was like, all right, Erica, like, yes, you are super productive. You are a high performer. You can do it all, but do we want to do it all? You know, mm-hmm. my body was starting to give me like those stress signals of like, yeah, kind of like what you were mentioning, Jax, where like I could go for 15 hours, 16 hours. If I was traveling, shoot, there were days where I was pulling 20 hour days mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, I could do it. I'm young. I have energy. I can drink another espresso shot if I need it. Not that I need it, but you know what I mean? Like you just power through. And before you know it, like you're just running on fumes. And so I definitely had those moments where like, I was like, okay, I'm spending so much time that I don't necessarily have to. So that was a wake up call for me. And I was like, I need to find things that really give back to myself so that I can be fully present. And for me, yeah. I've just found that yoga is something that relaxes me, puts me in the right mental state. It's a really great way for me to just, you know, stretch, get ready, especially now that I'm kind of sedentary, like sitting at a desk
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
As when I was on the road traveling mm-hmm. or in an office, you know, doing both of those things, like you're walking to get water, you know, you're doing a lot more movement than you are now. So setting that time even to just like literally like go and walk your dog an extra mm-hmm. time, you know, get outside, breathe some fresh air. I think that that's just so important. And for me, it's the accountability thing. It's like, I have this on my calendar. I'm going to do it at this time. I'm going to wake up because, I mean, that's the first thing I do in the morning is check my calendar. What do I have going on today? And start my day. So mm-hmm. it's part of just collecting my thoughts. Like I told you, you know, I keep paper near me all the time. So like, as soon as I have something like what you mentioned, I need to go get groceries. If I need to go do whatever, mail, mail my grandma a Christmas present, whatever it is. Like, those things are going on a list so that I don't have to require on my brain to carry more information.
Yeah. And you got to get the information out of your head. You said it earlier. And I started realizing that, through the military too. And there has been times where you have a lot of different stress in the military, and because of those stresses, they lead to being a little bit more forgetful. We'll just say that. And I've noticed that I was forced to start going down this path because of literally, I would that morning remember that I knew I had a meeting or knew I had a doctor's appointment, for example, and I would completely forget. I would completely forget the doctor's appointment, and it would be like a day later, a few hours later, whatever the situation was. And that was happening more and more. This was probably in 2019, where it became so prevalent that I was actually forced to start doing this without even realizing what I was actually doing. Yeah. And now I live by it. All my medical appointments, anything I need to do is in that calendar. Mm-hmm. But what I'm starting to realize too, is I'm starting to embed, like we were talking about this offline, is the macro and micro goals.
Yeah.
And I'm even starting to use my calendar for that as well to keep me on track. And I want to know, do you do that yourself? Or is that like, cause I will like put little tiny goals to know that that is for like my big, my micro goal to get me to my macro goal.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I am somebody, I feel like I was naturally born to just like set goals for myself. I feel like I've been doing it since I was a child. Like, coming to America, it was learn English. And I read the dictionary every weekend and asked my parents to quiz me from the dictionary.
Oh my God.
Literally, because that's just how I am. I was like, okay, I am going to learn English. And I was reading and writing within like 2 months. So record timing, I accomplished it. And that was me at 8 years old. That's so amazing. Luckily I have had that naturally. But every morning, I mean, I look at my longer macro goals, like my bigger, wider net of what I want to accomplish. So for example, if it's increasing my technical skills, how am I going to do that? Right? How am I going to achieve that? If that's an ongoing goal for the year, right? There's micro activities that go through with that. So whether it be, I try to spend about an hour learning something every day. That's a practice that I started about 6 years ago, when I was finding that I was getting so consumed with client work that I was kind of putting my personal development and like my personal, my personal reading, right? Cause like we're reading for work all the time. What do we read for us? And for me, building in that hour in the morning or in the middle of the day to break up your day, and also like putting it on your calendar and treating it as kind of like a mental health break, and having that micro goal of like, okay, I'm going to study 1 hour every day this week. Or, you know, if it's getting closer to like a certification exam, I'm going to do it, you know, over the weekend. But I mean, every morning I set at least 3 things that I have to accomplish. And those are my big items. I always conquer the hairiest item first. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like bite the bullet, you know, do the task that you've been really, really dreading. Because once you get that out of the way, everything else is going to feel like cake. And the rest of your day is going to go by smoother. That is my approach. It's been working fairly well. I would say that I'm very efficient. I have found that really we waste so much time with being distracted, checking our emails. You know, that's another tip I would say is like have dedicated time where you're just cleaning out your inbox. Like do that twice a day. Because really, like, what's the harm in waiting 4 hours to respond to an email? Yep. You're still going to do it at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Attach activities that are like activities while your head is in one specific headspace, right? Because our brain functions in different ways when it's doing different activities. Mm-hmm. So if we're able to do, you know, admin activities in one block, we're able to do, you know, client work in one block, we'll find that our brain is, you know, better adapted to that and will work more efficiently for you. It's not about, you know, working longer hours. It's about working more productive and working smarter.
Yeah. You said a few things I want to hit on that. I'm very similar. One thing was the three task a day rule. Mm-hmm. That has actually been scientifically proven to only set three tasks that you are you can set more, but they specifically say only do three, because if you start doing more than that, you will naturally get burnt out because we will naturally tack on. And I was this way. I'm like, I can do five. I'm not the average person. Yeah, I'm not average. I can do five. Yeah. And then there would be days where five was a lot. And what would happen is you would beat yourself up because you only got four done.
Oh, for sure.
So now you had, what I found also interesting is you tackle the hairiest one first. Mm-hmm. I actually will sometimes go after the easy wins. And I think that could also be because you're a morning person and I'm not.
Yes.
And so in the morning, I'm like, I'm drinking my coffee, like, you know, like thinking about my life decisions right before I get on my bike or go do my workout. And when I sit down at the desk, I'm like, ooh, okay, let's knock these out. But then I typically go, okay, what are two things that I can knock out right now to get mm-hmm. me like, boom, accomplished, mark them off the calendar. Wow. And that's how I actually go after my goals. Or my goals, my tasks for that day. And it feels like it helps me get the momentum going. So that's another way of like, hey, flip it around. Yeah. But you said something, and I really found this super interesting, is how you set aside an hour a day for education. And what I want to know, because I do that as well, but I do it in increments throughout the day. And I want to know, like, how do you do that? Is it podcasts? Is it audio? Do you sit down with an actual hard book?
Yeah, it's usually reading. There is a joy that I get out of physical paper. I am one of those people that loves the new book smell. I love going into like libraries and bookstores.
I used to smell books.
Oh, I still do. I still do. For the record, guys, sniffing books is cool.
The older books, and like you go into the library, you're just like, yeah,
absolutely. So for me, it's something about like touching the paper. It's therapeutic for me. And I've been reading, like I've been such an avid reader. I think it was the wanting to learn when I came to America and wanting to learn the language. Really, I threw myself into reading and I've been hooked ever since. I mean, I try to read at least one book a month. That's usually my goal. But at any given time, I mean, I'm reading several books at a time. Some of them are self-help, which I still consider education, psychology, you know, technical reading, certification reading. Sometimes I'm just catching up on what's going on in the news. But I'm still increasing, you know, my learning and trying to keep my brain sharp. And again, it's just more about having the habit built in. And giving back to myself rather than feeling like I'm giving to somebody else. Because sometimes, you know, that's something that people can feel, right? It's like, okay, I'm doing all of this for my day job. What am I doing for myself? Because no one's going to show up for you like you show up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be the standard. So Jack, how do you set goals? I'm really curious to hear about your process. Is that something that like you do all the time, or is it, you know, once a year? What do you do? I know everyone does it differently.
Oh yeah. So a little backstory before I like jump into that, so you'll understand why my goal setting can seem like very robotic, I have been told, or very rigid. I grew up with that whole being told as a kid, like you're ADHD, you're very all over the place, you have all these learning disabilities. We were talking about this actually before the show, is I've never taken any Ritalin or any of the ADHD medicines because I believe that it is something that I can control with proper awareness. It's a challenge. It will probably always be a challenge for me. However, what I have done is I have implemented certain things into my life that some people can think is very, like, very, very rigid. But what I do is, like, right above me, I don't have a TV. I don't own a TV in my house, but I have a 47-inch whiteboard, and this is broken down by short term, so less than 30 days. I have a segment for midterm, so 30 to 60 days, and then I have a long term for 60 days plus. And then I have a section for weekly tasks. And then on top of it, I have like this right here, which the viewers can't see this, listeners can't see this, but I then have a mini whiteboard that is two-sided. And this is usually my weekly/daily taskings, because this is my piece of paper for me to like basically mark through the tasks that I've done for the day. And that's what gets me through my daily goals, but also my long-term goals. So I'm somebody that needs to visually see it every single day. So I do a lot of things electronically, but mm-hmm. with my notes and with my goal setting and with my tasks, they are very much, I literally have words and sayings and goals all over my house. They're everywhere. They're by my coffee maker. They're by my toothbrush. They're by my fireplace. So when I sit down or wherever I'm at, I constantly see them. And that's honestly, that's what keeps me aligned. Yeah. And then my morning routine is, again, very structured. And it is wake up at like X time, drink my coffee, get on the bike, work out by X time. When I'm showering, I typically listen to a podcast and then I go into my journaling and meditation and then I start my day. And it's typically a 2.5 hour window before I start work.
Yeah.
You know, and it works for me.
I love that because I would say I also see such an importance, one, in a couple of things that you said, but first off, in visualizing the goals. So like you have them all around you, right? You're holding yourself accountable by having all of these like reminders in your environment telling you, you know, you can do this. This is normal. You're used to seeing them all the time. But another thing you said, crossing them off. Mm-hmm. There is, I know that there are so many studies. I've read it, but I mean, I don't think I'll ever stop crossing them off.
It's such a good moment. It's feeling.
Yes, I'm like, I can't wait to cross another thing off. So it's kind of like addictive. But yeah, no, the visualizing and the writing, and it's interesting that both of us do it that way. And I think we both are very, I guess, structured individuals. But with that being said, I love what you said about, you know, us having a reverse method for the way that we knock out our tasks. Because mm-hmm. really at the end of the day, like everybody has to find out what works best for their personality. These are, you know, you can still be a high productive individual. You can still be efficient. You can still knock things out. But what really we have in common is that we found a way to maximize our mornings to work best for us.
Yes.
And yeah. regardless of how we do it, you and I both set time up for ourselves to get us in the right headspace. The exercise that we do that increases, you know, our mood, gets our blood flowing. You're also in a way learning too while listening to your podcast in the shower. Mm-hmm. That's an mm-hmm. amazing way to multitask, right? And then like, you know, you're allowing your brain to wake up. I mean, I never really understood those people that could just, you know, wake up and immediately like log in from bed.
No, I know.
I'm like, no, I mean, yes, I wake up like every day is a beautiful day. I'm so happy to be alive.
You are such a morning person.
I am. I wake up, it's 5 a.m. and I couldn't be happier. I mean, I'm just like bursting with energy and I cannot wait to seize the day. And I've had to learn to slow down because in the morning I have to have that period of like meditation, yoga. I have to have that time to give my back to myself. Or, you know, I was going to the gym a lot before work, you know, pre-COVID times. So, you know, I found my way to do exercise at home, but all that being said, it's, you know, we're maximizing the activities that we found are making us more productive rather than just logging in. I mean, I'm sure we could spend those 2.5 hours with mundane tasks in the morning, but really like what's the point if we can, you know, do something else than knock them out faster because we're in a better headspace.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed the days. And I know I'm very aware when so last night I didn't go to bed till midnight, 1 a.m. because of work. And I slept in a little bit this morning and I did not do my meditation on purpose, but I take stock of that. And I know those days when I'm not going to do it. So what I did is I woke up a little bit later, I gave myself some extra sleep, and then I multitasked during one of my calls. I got on the bike and I rode the bike for 30 minutes, knowing that if I had a talk on the call, I'd be fine. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, and that's another thing for our listeners is, and you said it, Erica, figure out what works for you. And if something you're doing isn't working, try things.
Yeah.
So just like Erica, you mentioned you tweaked your workout schedule when COVID hit. So it's like mm-hmm. it will always change. When we go back into the office, my morning schedule is likely right. going to change again. And you just figure out what is going to be the best for me because your morning is so crucial. Even if you're a night owl, totally. Your morning is so crucial for you to have an impactful day for the rest of the day. So this has been an awesome discussion. I know we're coming up on time, Erica. I don't know if there's any last words and before we do a wrap up.
No, I would say my last words are just to recognize when you have to give yourself grace too. So, you know, all of us here, you know, those listeners that, you know, this is resonating with you either because you want to make a change or what we're saying is, you know, hey, I do that, you know, recognize that we are not robots, that we cannot be on our 100% game every single day. And when we need to give ourselves grace, I didn't get something done on my to-do list, or, you know, maybe one of my goals needs to get pushed back for whatever reason, you know, that's okay. Just make sure that you're on the right track, but that you're also giving yourself grace to slow down sometimes, because that's equally as important for, you know, your mental health and your well-being. And I guarantee that if you have that conversation with your employer or whoever it is that you, you know, even with yourself, and give yourself the, hey, I apologize that I did not meditate this morning. Like, mm-hmm. I can feel it. I can feel that I'm more overwhelmed at 1 p.m. than I would have been usually if I had gotten that meditation in. Yeah. You know, sorry, I didn't show up for myself today. But I will tomorrow. And like, you know, just learn and do it the next day, you know?
Yep. You can always start now.
Yeah,
yep, you can definitely always start now. Absolutely. Well, you heard it here on Hackers Were Prada. Erica, where can the listeners find you?
On LinkedIn. Guys, friend me, message me. These are topics that I know myself and even Jax and I know John, we love to talk about these things, and we kind of feed off of one another. I mean, these kind of conversations you should be having with your friends, with your peers. So great to get ideas, you know, and build off of one another. So
yeah, find us on LinkedIn and message us and tell us what your life hacks are. We would love to hear what you do in the morning. Yeah, that would be awesome. For me, I'm also just LinkedIn, Jax Scott, super easy. Find us there. Also, do us a favor. If you like this podcast, please go in, give 5 stars if we're worthy for it. If not, message us so we can get those 5 stars and leave a comment and share. We love you guys.
Love you guys. See you next time. Bye. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Hackers and Hacks End podcast with Erica, Jax, and John. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itsbmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.